And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, November the 9th, 2024. No, yes, November the 9th. It's season 18, episode 38. I don't know, I had November the 8th written here in my thing, and then I got confused on, like, was it episode 38 or 39? What's the... Anyway, it's 38, episode 38, November the 9th. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
There we go. Just, you know, get through that. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. All you have to do is go to our webpage, ingamechat.net. That gives you every single avenue of communication with us. Whether it be our email address, everyone at ingamechat.net. Whether it be our Twitter account, ingamechat. Whether it be our Facebook page, ingamechat. Or whether it be our Discord, which we have up and running right now, and the link to join or to get into it is right there. Or whether it be our Twitch channel, go to twitch.tv, look at In-Game Chat in their search engine, you'll be able to find us. Or again, go to our website and you'll be able to watch the show live while we broadcast, with everybody hanging out there in the chat room as well. Do this real quick. And there we are, ready to start the show. Yeah, welcome in. Did you happen to catch Matt's stream on Monday? Probably not.
No, I didn't. He
streamed Vampire Survivors. He was doing the Castlevania DLC came with it.
DLC, okay. Yeah.
I have not picked up the Castlevania DLC for that. Then again, I haven't played Vampire Survivors in a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Was it cosmetic or actual characters from the game?
No, it's a lot of stuff. Like, Vampires, the interesting thing about Vampire Survivors, the interesting thing about that is that, yeah, man, that thing started really small and it has ballooned.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have added characters, but they've also added weapons, they've also added new maps, they've also added maybe even new enemy types, I would imagine. I'm not exactly sure, but I mean, the thing has ballooned into something massive. But it's still pretty cheap cost to play it. You know, get the base game, I think. I can't remember what the price is. I think it's like $5-6, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure, because I got it when it was still in early access. One of the few times I've ever picked up a game in early access. And yeah, it was really good. Although, looking at it now, I haven't played it in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got my Steam Deck up and running, a year after I bought my Steam Deck, once I got that up and running, I put Vampire Survivors on there. Again, had not played it in a long time, and when I went to go play it, it was like I was starting fresh. And I thought, I've done a lot of stuff in here, and I've unlocked a lot of things. Why is it all blank? And I thought, well, maybe my save didn't carry over.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if I have yet to log into my main game on Steam to see if all my stuff is there and to kind of have a save that carries over. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed odd, and whenever something like that happens, I immediately stop playing. When I notice that something is off between saves, I stop playing, because I'm worried that something's going to save and overwrite, you know, what my progress. It always makes me nervous about that, so I don't play it if I know my save's not there. I need to find out what's going on. This happened with Stardew Valley. I didn't lose anything, but at the same time, even though I had a correct save, I didn't. It had been years since I'd played the thing, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't remember my motivation. I don't remember how things work. I don't remember what I was working on, and so I started new.
Yeah, it's the same thing that happened to me with Sekiro.
Yeah,
I still need to restart that again, by the way, because it has been so long since I've played the game that the progress I've made, it's like the same situation. I don't know what I'm doing, how the mechanics work,
nothing
like that. Instead of stumbling through where I'm at, I'm gonna start over and refresh, start over new. And relearn all this stuff, and then continue on continue on to finish the game.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob, Vampire Survivors is still $5 on Steam, and the bundle with all the DLC, it's 20% off. So you're going to be paying about seventeen bucks for the game, base game, and all the DLC to come with it.
Man, see, that thing has exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really has.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, no, it's great. Great game. It's a fantastic game, and for those of you who don't know. What that is and how it plays. I don't think it's a twin stick shooter. You know what I mean?
Let's see. Tags are action roguelike, bullet hell.
Yeah.
Bullet hell. Plays in there. So, yeah. So, if you know that term, you know exactly what you're getting into. The me against the world type mentality, and everybody's, everybody coming at you. Pixel graphics, 2D, things like that.
No, it's you versus everything on the map. And everything on the map is coming towards you. And your character automatically, you know, fires their weapon or directs their attack in the direction you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, if you're, you know, you move towards an enemy and it's going to make the attack, and then they drop something usually and you pick it up, and as you pick it up, you earn rewards and upgrades to your character and everything else, and then, you know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You try to go. It used to be you went for 30 minutes, and then some unkillable monster would show up and then wipe everything out, and that was the goal. Mm-hmm. The goal was to get to go, you know, to get to that point and die after 30 minutes.
Survive for it. X amount of time.
Yeah, and that could be tough. Sometimes just getting to 12 minutes or 17 minutes or 20 minutes was sometimes very, very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. I think I made it to 28 one time, I believe. And then there's combinations of weapon upgrades. If you upgrade this specific weapon and then upgrade this other specific weapon, they combine to form an ultimate weapon type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were all kinds of different formulas of which weapons to go with or which upgrade paths to go with. And so, and each character has a specific way of attack or one of those inherent abilities to kind of advance you a little bit in a certain path. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It really, really is a lot of fun to see how far you could get. And for $5, it was just like, sure, way back when.
Yeah.
Now for $17, look, I'm telling you, you're getting so much bang for your buck. Although, $17 right now, and it's on sale because the Castlevania stuff just released. Hang tight. The end of the year sale's coming up at the end of December. That price on a lot of that DLC, not the new one, but I guarantee you some of the older DLC will see a hit, you know, where you can get it. Maybe it'll be the same price as what we're seeing here. Maybe it goes lower. We don't know. That's kind of the gamble you run on that. Mm-hmm. Realize that I'm muted on Discord now. Now I am not. Discord was like, man, you're talking, but you're muted. Maybe we got to remind you. A little box comes up. It's like, hey, did you know you're muted? And, so, yeah, fix that. Anyway, welcome into the show. You know, speaking of games we played, that's a game I played a long time ago. But as far as games that I've been playing right now, really nothing comes to mind. It is essentially Marvel Snap and Burnout Paradise Remastered. That is all I am playing currently. And Burnout Paradise Remastered is getting closer and closer to being complete. I am outside of race events, which I've been saving because I want to start recording my race events so I can do a nice little compilation of, you know, amazing moments that happen. There's just been so many moments during a race or road rage. Those are the two. There's been so many moments during those where I was like, man, I wish I was recording when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? You should stop playing this and actually do that. So I went ahead and got rid of I didn't get rid of, but I got through all the other events that I could. Then I started working on the getting the best times on all the roads, getting the best showtime on all the roads. I've done that, both on the island and on the main part of the game itself, the DLC and the main game. I've done that. All the billboards smashes, the billboards that you can break, the gates that you can smash through, and the jumps that you can do. I have finished those on the island. So now on the island, all I have are the race and the road rage events. That's it. On the main part of the game, I have only two sections of the map left to go through. And we're talking less than 20 gate smashes. I'm at 370-something right now, and there's 400 in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's your packages and crackdown equivalent.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, what, 25? No. It's less than that, actually. Yeah, it's about 20. 21, 20, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've got those. I have two mega jumps to find left to do to get those, and in my billboards I am down to less than 10.
This is on the island.
This is on the main game.
On the main game.
Yeah, okay. The big map.
Okay.
The big map. Yeah. So I have those left to do. I've got a nice, I say it's an interactive map, but it's a really good map that I found online that shows you where certain things are. It's somewhat been helpful. It's really hard to keep track of what you've already done and what you haven't. So you kind of just have to start at one point and realize, I've gotten everything in this little section. Let's move on to the next piece.
Yeah, world maps are a thing. You notice that? Like some outside source makes a complete more intuitive map than the game itself. Like some download this here and get this actual map of the island and things of that nature. Yeah, I mean, if someone takes the time to do that.
And this was a game that released. This was a game that released in 2018, the remastered version released in 2018. So I'm trying to pull stuff back that's, a good many years old now. But still going through it, still doing my stuff and doing that. I plan, once that's done, all I will have left are the road rage and race events. Mm-hmm. And then I'll start doing those. And that'll close me out, because as I do those, I'll start unlocking cars. I'll do my last three burning lap attempts with those cars when they unlock, because you have to. And then I'll finish it up, and I'll be elite, and I'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be it. That'll be my second time going through that. Although, it'll be my first time doing any of the island stuff. The island stuff released a good bit after the game had come out, about a year after the game had released.
Yeah, it did.
The island stuff came out. And for the most part, most people had moved on to other games. I liked it. I went through it and I played some of it, but I didn't do everything that I'm doing right now. I didn't own the roads with wrecks or with times. I didn't hit all the billboards or smashes or jumps. I just found some of the big ones and was playing with them and did that, and got unlocked some cars. That's about it. I didn't go, full throttle with it. And so, I'm actually now doing that and really, really enjoying it. But those are the two games that I'm playing. What about you?
For this week, I was playing more of GTA Online. I was more focusing on vehicle sales from the CEO aspect of the game. Used to be a time when people were so focused on other activities in the game, they pretty much ignored anybody trying to sell a car or anything like that. It wasn't much into it. But this week, apparently, they've gone back to focusing on that again, because I've had about 8 cars I tried to sell, and 2 of them I was attacked and blown up, so lost those.
Yep.
Fortunately, one of them was just a small tiered car, because I was trying to make space for the top range vehicles.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that big of a loss, really. But so I've been working on that more than anything else in GTA. Also played a lot of time with Virtua Fighter 5. Like I said before, I'm trying to play more to get more experience under my belt, so I can learn some things and be more effective playing online. Had a bunch of ranked matches, and was same as always, 50-50. Some little here, hit and miss here and there. But I found that I played a lot better when I was playing casually in a room. I found a room with one of the streamers of the league I'm with, Akai.
Yeah.
So he had a room going on a weekday night. And I just asked if it was okay if I joined in. He said sure, and I came in there, and me and three other players had a few sparring sessions here and there, and we had a good time with that. especially one player, Nala Strawbay, who uses Vanessa. And Vanessa is a tricky character in Virtua Fighter. She has two stances, offensive and defensive, and she can do a whole lot of mix-up from either one, and you have to recognize all the things that she can do from each stance.
Mm-hmm.
So in the game where I have to learn what characters can do here and there, and other than playing them yourself, you play against them online and see how well you add up. And it was really really touch and go and really good evenly matched thing. I had got a lot of experience out of it, so it was good doing that. And now I can use that info and use it for my ranked matches when I play further online. And that's what I want to play this week, Virtua Fighter. Other than that, I tried another run at Balatro.
Yeah.
Still did not get that good Joker setup that I wanted. So I leveled up pairs again because it's the most easy one to get, but didn't work out for me this time. But I will say that leveling up pairs is the closest I've ever gotten to beating a deck.
Because you can usually make a pair.
It's almost always you can get a pair.
Yeah.
You can always get a pair, except when RNG comes in and messes everything up in Ante 7 and 8.
I mean, it is the physical epitome of the luck of the draw. I mean, it is the manifestation of the term, the luck of the draw, in that entire game.
Mm-hmm.
You could have just called it luck of the draw, and that could have been the title of the game.
Yeah.
And it still would have fit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I still got a whole bunch of jokers to unlock and see in the game, especially with the those uber jokers that give you really big boosts.
Yeah, some really good things
really
there. Yeah,
big boosts in the jokers there. So it's still going to be a long process, but as long as I'm having fun doing it, I'm gonna keep playing it.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much what I've played this week.
Alrighty then. Well, that's what we've been playing. Planet Coaster 2 came out. I'm kind of interested in playing that. Just building me another theme park, going through that. It seems to have some really good reviews. It's not ending up like a City Skylines 2, which is, kind of undercooked.
Mm-hmm.
Planet Coaster 2 seems to be out of the gate, good to go. City Skylines 2, still trying. It'll be 2 years now, I think. Or either a year or 2 years. I don't know if it came out last year, if this is the year anniversary of its release. Mm. Came out in October of last year or the year before, and I have still not picked it up. After being very, very excited to do it on the day of, until it released and everybody was like, ooh, this is not ready.
Yeah, mixed reviews on Steam said release date was October 24th of 2023.
Yeah, it was last year. Yeah. My sense of timing is all messed up. It feels like it's been 2 years. It feels like it's been longer than just a year.
Yeah, negative experiences do that, so yeah.
I know. Mainly because I was like, man, that game's been out a while. Have they fixed it yet? And you keep checking, and it's like, nope, still not there yet. So, okay, I'll keep waiting, and I keep checking and keep waiting. And it's still not there, so. But yeah, I'm kind of holding out, and hopefully, when I say hopefully, it doesn't matter if you are or not, but we always give you a heads up, It's Black Friday time. There's going to be some discounts on games. We're not sure how this is going to turn out this year, as far as, is PC going to be on par with what console is going to get as far as your discounts?
Right now,
we don't know. I honestly doubt it myself.
Yeah.
It's usually PC gets the short end of the stick when it comes to some of the amazing deals you get on some of the physical console games.
Yeah.
That are going
to
be released.
Yeah, but like I said, Black Friday just ain't what it used to be anyway. So,
it's not.
Yeah.
It's really not. But in gaming, you can still find some pretty good deals that suffice on some pretty recent games. And if I had to, and I'm trying to go back and remember releases.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the best Black Friday deal I ever got, video game wise.
Oh man, probably a price mistake for me. But
well, I'm trying to remember if Pure was the one, because I remember that was one of the most fun AT racing games I ever had.
Oh,
and it
man.
Was like $10 from Black Rock Studios.
Oh, Black Rock. That was Split Second, man.
Mm-hmm. Black Split Second, I had to find from off of eBay, but Pure I bought from Best Buy, I believe.
Yeah.
$10. It was supposed to be like 50.
I picked up the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon Forbidden West. I picked that up for like 20 or 25
mm-hmm.
last year or the year before last. I can't remember. But, we'll see some drops in some games. And I'm just, for whatever reason, I'm trying to think of some recent, Dragon Age, you might see a dip. but probably for the physical copies of the game, and for the console versions of them, much less, you know, probably not the digital PC versions, which is all the PC versions are now, is just digital copies. So I don't know. You might not see that there. You may. I'm thinking of something that Sonic Shadow Generations. That's a possibility for getting some stuff. I haven't really dipped into or seen anything talk about Black Friday deals. There's a lot of Black Friday deals on a whole bunch of stuff, not gaming related, but gaming
adjacent.
Yeah, good job. Like laptops have been going on sale. Monitors and television screens. You know what I'm saying? TVs and monitors are hitting sales.
If you need some parts for your PC or anything to upgrade or play with, there you go. Well, I'm looking into some external hard drives right now.
You might see some dips on those,
I'm notified that some external hard drives have been dropping in price. I mean, big ones, too, because I'm all about space.
Yeah.
Storing.
Yes, you are. I know stuff, how much you look for these. Like, is that, can I use that with my PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, oh, yeah. So, storage space, big deal. What else? Not gaming related whatsoever, but I subscribe. I have, you know, I'm Slick Deals. I think it's slickdeals.net. Great website that has just a bunch of like, hey, here's deals on things. And you can make an account there absolutely free. There's nothing, you don't have to pay for anything. But you can put in there like your phone number and things like that. You'll get emails and text messages when, you know, if you put in an item. When I was looking for, well, I didn't bring my Steam Deck. When I was looking for an SSD for my Steam Deck, I just went into Slick Deals and I typed in not the brand name, but the specific type of SSD I was looking for, that size. And I didn't go any further than that. I was just like, this is the size I'm looking for. You can send me text about a 500 gig version or whatever, and I'll just wait until the one I want rolls around at the price I want. Hmm. And it absolutely did. Well, anyway.
Looking at the site now, I see a whole bunch of stuff just popped up. 2 terabyte, 1 terabyte, and all types of stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I've gone through that. I put in monitors. I put in games. I put in, when I was hunting for computer parts, I would put in specific computer parts I was looking for. Yeah. CPUs, GPUs, things like that, power supplies. I put in Legos. That was a mistake. yeah, I know. Because apparently Amazon is doing a massive sale on Legos. I'm not necessarily saying it is a sale that is going to surprise you and get you like, ooh, that's a deal. Because Legos be expensive already. And when they're on sale, it's basically what they used to cost before they raised the price. And they did raise the price on Legos. So, the adult ones. And I say the adult ones, but I just mean, you know what I mean? Not the more geared towards the older crowd. Anybody can put them together. I don't want to say some 5-year-old kid looks at the, the space shuttle and says, no, that's an adult. I can't build that. No, you absolutely can, buddy. Mm-hmm. You go right ahead and do that.
Go to YouTube. You'll see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I don't want to kind of label them that way. But anyway, so, yeah, check that out. But Black Friday looms on the horizon. And we currently don't have anything for you as far as prices or anything, but it's coming.
Yeah, the way the days and weeks are coming, man, it'll be here before we know it.
I know. What are we, 2 weeks away?
Just about.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Are we really 2 weeks away from
14 days, 9th, 23rd?
Okay, we're two weeks and 3 days away from Thanksgiving.
Close enough.
I mean, it is close enough. You're right. It is. I look at that calendar and I'm thinking in my head, what all I got to do to get ready for them 2 days? Mm. And it's a lot for me to have to do to get ready for those 2 days. And so I'm thinking like, okay, next week I can work on this to make sure that's done. The next week I can work on that. And I'm so glad the election's over with because it would make this 10 times harder if it was not. Mm. If the election came middle of the month, it would make my job a whole lot worse in prepping for 2 days off at the end of the month. So, yeah. Anyway, we got to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour here. When we come back, we're going to jump right into whatever we got lined up for our news here, which is a lot. We got some stuff here to go over, and we're absolutely going to do it this time. I promise. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat in just a moment. It's the new games weekend. I say new games, but still, we're stuck in June or July, I believe. Because that's how slow I go. If I were to go, if I went too fast, I'd be pulling some obscure stuff looking for music because of the slow drip that we run into on game releases towards the end of the year and the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So, this is music from a game called Still Wakes the Deep. I believe we used some of this for our Halloween stuff. This is Susie's Letter is the name of this track. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into the show. In-game chat here. Music from a game called The Republic of Pirates. Seaward Bound is the name of that track, in case you were wondering. Great little game, by the way, Republic of Pirates. It is a pirate city builder. Basically, yeah, it's... What was the name of the... Ah, boy. Years ago, I could have told you. Because I played Black Flag, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag so much.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, that whole island where pirates are like, hey, you know, you come here, you're okay. You know, nobody's going to...
Not that Sea of Thieves thing, is it?
No. It's an actual island where the pirates went to, you know, it's where they could stop off and, you know, convene with other pirates and not, you know, sort of like neutral ground. In a sense. It was still kind of lawless, but it was still like, you know, the privateer, not the privateers, but the whatever. The king's ships and everything else weren't going to come and get you at that particular island. Basically, and so that's what it is. You settle there, you start to build your camp, and then as other pirates come in, you do trade with them, you earn, you know, money so that you can build better places for, you know, trade and commerce and all these other things. Nice little, you know, pirate paradise that you could come up with. So
AC Raid says Tortuga.
Was it? Maybe. But I can't remember. I can't remember Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag for whatever reason, which rumor is they're doing a remake on that for a release at some point.
Which one?
Black Flag, the pirate one. That was 4.
How long ago was that, though?
It's been a while. You'd have to look it up to find out, because I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, okay. There you go, AC Wraith. I was, because there was the letter N was in there. I was like, it was something with an N.
Okay, Black Flag was...
Yeah, what year was Black
10
Flag?
10 years. October 19th, 2013.
So it's been, it's been 10 years.
Yeah, I think because I bring that up because we were talking about how some games are, it's too early for a remake. I think Horizon, 5 years? It was like, isn't that a little too early for a remake?
Yeah, it felt a little early for that. Although that I say a remake, but it's sort of it's a remake, but you can do the upgrade for it. That's gotten really good reviews as far as, let me throw the caveat that outside of forcing you to sign up for PlayStation Network on PC when you log in, put that aside, it's a really good upgrade. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what we wanted with Red Dead 1. It's like, let's take Horizon and put it in the engine that we did with the sequel and get it nice and pretty and everything else. And that has proved to be a pretty good upgrade, especially the fact that it's only $10. If you already own the game, it's only $10 to upgrade it to the other one. It's a really good deal. I like that path. If they're going to stick with that for games, I'm good with it.
Mm-hmm.
Provided that you get something like what we got with Horizon Zero Dawn's upgrade path, which is really, really good. Really good upgrade there. I think the one that we were, concerned with, the one that we were kind of surprised about, I think, was what, Last of Us Part II? Getting a version for the PlayStation 5 and the PC, calling that a remaster or something, and this was a couple of years back when that was getting released.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that being like, it's a little... I mean, I understand what you're doing. You're just releasing it on new platforms. But slapping the remaster or retitle or remake on it seems a little disingenuous. It just seems like it's a, you know, just call it a Next Gen Plus or something. Because it's a smaller step than what you would be doing.
The transfer.
Yeah. Burnout Paradise Remastered. Just to go over the game that I'm currently playing, it was 2008, I think, when the game released, and in 2018 it got the remaster. So 10 years later, a lot of these come around in the 10 years because it's like, oh, it's the 10th anniversary, let's do a remake. Looking at that, I'm like, there's not a lot here that is you know, nice and polished and whatever. However, There is more to that, though, because it has upgraded to like 4K abilities and stuff like this. It was HD back then, not 4K.
Yeah.
When they get those 4K upgrades, you're getting some better stuff, better looking stuff there. And yeah, that was nice. It also brought the servers back online, which is another thing that a lot of people had lamented because they had closed the servers for Burnout Paradise. So you couldn't do those online things. And even trying now, I mean, it's kind of dead world, but the servers are there. If I wanted to, I could go to Reddit or I could go to the Steam community for it, set something up, or I could go to the Burnout Discord. I need to go to that. I haven't been there in a while. I could go to the Burnout Discord, get with some people and say, hey, let's get these free burn challenges done. That's the ones where you can go online with 7 other people and race or do flips and smashes and all these other different things that you can do. And there's achievements there for that. But you can only get them while those servers are available and while people are playing.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the remaster may not be like this massive great bells and whistles thing, it still pumps a little bit of rejuvenation into the online component, if there is one, for a game. It puts the servers back into play. We should be getting an Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag remaster, remake, something. Coming here pretty soon, although they've delayed Shadows until, what, February now? Wasn't that what it was, where they put that off?
Oh, yeah, I know it was a delay. Let's see.
It was a pretty big delay, too.
Yeah.
I know you're looking it up now.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that. And excuse me. I am all kinds of...
February 2025, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see if that date sticks. That's a big... That's a long stretch of when they had planned to release it and when they pushed it away.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what else is coming out around that month as well.
Oh, February?
Yeah. Because we did say the drought we're going
to
have.
Yeah, I used to know that. I used to know that. What is it? Next year is GTA 6 too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't know when. We just know next year.
Probably the late...
You're thinking quarter. Late. You're thinking the holiday season, huh?
I'm thinking late quarter.
You're thinking October, November? About a year from now?
Last quarter. Because I'm expecting a delay. I expect delays on all big games.
I know, man. So, especially something like GTA 6, yeah, man.
Big game.
Yeah, it's a
getting
big
a lot
one.
Of, getting a lot of press. Got a lot of press, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, you know how it is with the game releases? It's all about not competing with the big title that's also there.
Although, from what I understand with Assassin's Creed Shadows, that was not the reason they moved it from when it was releasing to later.
Yeah.
They're doing a complete, like, restructure of...
There's a whole bunch of other things that, yes, that was going on with the game to force them to do that. But I'm talking about not competing with any of the big titles out there. I think...
And I feel like February is a big title month.
Yeah,
for some reason, gaming-wise.
Not a lot going on there, but I harken back to what happened with Elden Ring. Elden Ring came out like a week after, or what was it, a week after, what title was that? Was it Horizon?
It was.
Yeah, it was Horizon.
Horizon had the spotlight for like a week.
A week, and then Elden Ring came out a week later,
yeah,
and then that was it.
That was all done.
So, yeah, so folks are going to try to avoid that as much as possible, so... So I'm wondering if anything's going to be coming out in February when Assassin's Creed planned to be released.
Well, let me just tell you, because since I looked this up, I will tell you. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, Civilization 7, Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got? Tomb Raider 4, 5, and 6 Remastered will get released in February. Monster Hunter Wilds is getting released in February. That's a big game. Avowed is getting released in February. Another big game. That's Obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
And Like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii is getting released in February as well, along with Assassin's Creed Shadows now. So it's a lot that is getting released at that that time.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like March might be a better one as I was looking through there. March seems, yeah. April, not a lot there. There's nothing in May that I see here on this website that I'm looking at. But you don't go too far out.
Yeah.
What do we get in January, by the way? Let me look at that. Nothing that I can tell that is of any significance. Oh, Marvel Spider-Man 2 on PC gets released at the end of January, along with Sniper Elite Resistance. Two big titles, although Spider-Man 2 is already out on PlayStation 5. You're just going to get, kind of the PC version, which is going to incorporate the aspects that are used in the PlayStation 5 Pro version that released this week. That new console, that new $700 console that released this week. So there is that as well. Oh, yeah, Tony Todd did the... voice of Venom in Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
Passed away.
Yeah.
Candyman. Yeah, I know, man. All right. What do we got in the news? Something that I wanted to talk about and I get a chance to for the past, I don't know how many weeks now, was that the Steam Deck, which is out, it's available now. It's basically a handheld PC. It's not a laptop. It's specifically for gaming, although it does have an operating system on it. You can use it to browse the web or do whatever you want to in a portable fashion. Steam Deck's out there. And we always kind of wonder, and they've got the OLED version and the LCD version. That was kind of the OLED version wasn't necessarily a upgrade, although they did a lot more than just the OLED screen in there.
Mm-hmm.
They actually kind of let that go under the radar. All the other stuff that they upgraded when they did the OLED version.
Mm-hmm.
Valve had mentioned, and this goes back weeks ago, that they would not be releasing a new Steam Deck console each year. And they cite that it's kind of not really fair to your customers. I'm quoting them. That's kind of not really fair to your customers. It is important to us, and we've tried to be really clear, we are not doing the yearly cadence. We're not going to do a bump every year. There's no reason to do that. And honestly, from our perspective, that's kind of not really fair to your customers to come out with something so soon that is only incrementally better. And I kind of agree with that. I absolutely agree with that, to be honest with you. I mean, look at your phone. Or just, you can take either of them. It doesn't, I'm not even trying to be Apple fanboy here. But you can look at Apple and you can look at Android. You can look at Google phones and Apple phones and things like that. Every year you get a refresh. And how big is that jump? I know there are people who upgrade every year with their phones. I get that. There's that. You're fine to do it if you want to. That many people I can count on one hand. In fact, I can count only using my thumb. The number of people who upgrade after a certain amount of time, not on a yearly basis, but like, eh, you know what? I'm going to go 5 years, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Joey, who works here, came in with a 16 the other day. I don't know if it's because he broke his other one, but he was just going to upgrade, but he was going from an iPhone 13 to a 16. All right, that's fine. It's like a 3-year difference there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, mine's a 14, and I'm not going to jump to a 16. Will I jump to a 17? Maybe. I don't know. I may not. Most of my phone upgrades are very, very... The gap is wide on my phone upgrades. The gap is wide on my PC upgrades, to be honest with you. I mean, I can't shell out money for a GPU every year.
Yeah, in terms of upgrading, what do I upgrade my PC every what? 3 years?
Yeah, we all do that.
Yeah, 3 years or so. Phone-wise, I mean, I'm still using a S20. Because it still works.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in a rush to get the newest thing.
Yeah, Valve went on to say, and I'm quoting them here, so we really do want to wait for a generational leap in compute without sacrificing battery life before we ship the real second generation of Steam Deck. But it is something that we're excited about and we're working on. So, yeah, Steam Deck 2 is, while it is in development, it's down the ways a bit before we can get any kind of a... You know, an idea of what we're going to get with a Steam Deck 2, when we're going to get a Steam Deck 2, and what kind of a leap that's going to be as far as, you know, how good it looks. So, and that's perfectly fine. I'm okay with that. I like that. I wish more companies would kind of, you know, develop that policy to where, like, look, if this isn't a significant upgrade, then there's no point in trying to go through and do this.
Yeah.
But... Valve's a different company. Gabe's a different kind of guy. Because, I mean, you look at Apple and you look at Google, you look at everybody who does the yearly refreshes, and it's like, eh, all right, your company making the money because you know there's people out there who'll do it. And you also have to understand that phones specifically, the market share, you're talking about a massive amount of people. So releasing a new phone every year is probably going to appeal, and that pie is big enough to throw that out there and make a profit off of. Whereas like your GPU people or, you know, your computer component folks, that's a smaller circle of people than phones. I mean, phones are huge. So that's kind of a bad example to use, but, you know. How much time ago? Let's see. The PS5 Pro. I started to watch Digital Foundry's look at the thing. It is a smaller machine than I was expected compared to Mr. Big OG machine that I pulled out of a box and realized that was one of the few times where the box was big. But when I pulled the console out, I was like, that's much bigger than I ever thought. I mean, the box should have given me an idea of how big the console is.
Yeah, the box is big. The console is just as big.
But the console was huge. And I was just, that's. It's very few times that I get that sense, you know, of like, wow.
Didn't need the safety packing.
It's huge.
It took all the space in that box, yeah.
It really, really does. It is massive. On Wednesday, and this comes from October 24th, this is behind, but it says on Wednesday, market research firm Circana released U.S. lifetime hardware sales breakdowns between regular PS5s and those without disk drives, as well as the Xbox Series X and S. Xbox Series X consoles comprised 58% of total Xbox Series units sold in September and account for the majority of Xbox Series units sold life to date, 51%, by the way. 40% of total PlayStation 5 hardware unit sales in September came from the digital PS5 consoles, the one that have no disc drive. Digital consoles now comprise 18% of the total life-to-date unit sales of PS5 hardware. Those breakdowns are only for U.S., by the way, but an interesting picture begins to emerge if we project them out across the global sales of both sets of consoles. Sony's last reported sales figures for the PS5 as of August indicated 61.7 million units sold. That means roughly 50 million of those would be disc-capable models, and only 11 million would be the all-digital versions. And I think the reasoning for this is because of the fact that the PS5 Pro, $700, does not come with a disc drive. But you can buy a disc drive to add to it, which brings the total over $800 for this console. So, that's a lot of money. That is a ton of money for a console. We've been here before. Mm-hmm. PlayStation 3. OG big unit. You know that thing.
Brick.
The massive console. That started as a $699. Was Ken Kutaragi's thing that was echoed over and over and over again when they announced the PlayStation 3. $699. That was big. That was a big deal. And they ate every bit of it because it was way too high. And I mean, PlayStation 3, you got to go back early 2000s for that. Mm-hmm. Or mid 2000s, I think. So we hadn't seen a price for a console like that since then until now for this PS5 Pro. And we've talked about the PS5 Pro. We've talked about the console, the refresh in the middle of the generation, or the mid-generation refresh that we're getting. Microsoft likely has one coming as well at some point, not this year. But it wasn't so much that we were...
2006, by the way.
2006 on the PlayStation 3, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't so much that we're saying, wow, that's a lot of money for a console. It's more so... wow, what are the next generation consoles going to cost if this mid-gen refresh is $700? What does that mean that the PlayStation 6, I was going to say 7, like the PS6 and the next Xbox, what are those going to cost? Then you start to wonder, like, how are you going to keep up with that, you know? How are you going to continue to enjoy your hobby when the price of entry just gets higher and higher and higher and higher? I would say maybe you move to PC. It's not always the answer. And it's also not always the cheapest option.
No.
You look at those, you look at those prices of GPUs, essentially. CPUs, yes, they're pricey.
Mm-hmm.
But the GPUs are just out of this world.
Yeah.
Only
other option after that would be streaming, a subscription service.
That, and that's an idea, you know? You could also start to look at that in the, let's go back to the phones again.
I know, yeah.
What do you do with your phone? You sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
You pay on that contract on a monthly basis. Sometimes when you get a new phone, the price of that phone is built into your contract, so that when you're paying your phone bill, you're also paying a little bit at a time on the purchase of the phone itself.
You're stuck for 2 years, that type of thing.
Right.
Yep.
I want to say Microsoft tried this a couple years back, but this would be on a much bigger scale, given the fact that the price of the machine is going to be just a massive amount. So I don't know. We'll have to see at what point, whenever that gets around to it, as far as the next consoles are concerned.
Yeah, see what everyone's threshold is.
Right.
Overall.
We can't include the Switch 2 into this competition, I say. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call it a competition, but into this experiment or into this question that we're asking, because the Switch 2 is likely coming next year. But the Switch 2 is not a Microsoft console. It is not a PlayStation console. Yes, it is going to be more expensive, I would imagine, than the first Switch, but not on the realm of $700, not on the realm of probably $500. It'll probably be lower than that, probably $350. Maybe, I don't exactly know. I don't remember what the Switch cost itself. But still, we're going to get a Switch 2, but that's not going to tell us or give us any kind of an idea of what to expect from a next PlayStation console or a next Xbox console whenever we get around to those. So just wanted to put that out there so that when you do see the Switch 2 and the price and you're thinking, well, that's cheap, next generation is not going to be too bad. Yeah.
Hold up.
Yeah, it is. All right.
Yeah. AC Wraith in the chat said backwards compatibility for the win.
Yeah, they announced it. Yes, they did. They announced the backwards compatibility for the Switch 2. Everything that you're playing on your Switch will be backwards compatible to Switch 2. Mm-hmm. Makes me wonder about the fate of Animal Crossing. They have got to come up with a better way to transfer your island. And I think they did. I actually think they did. At the time I went from the regular Switch to the OLED Switch, nothing was quite there, but I think they've actually gotten around to doing it better. I need to look that up and see. Because that was not fun. That you risk losing your entire island if you're holding on to those things. And a lot of people do. A lot of people, even though they may not play it, it's like, you know, one day I'm going back.
Yeah.
Maybe you never do, but one day you think you will. So,
remember we talked about the Sony trying to recoup their loss from Concord, try to do everything they can to get that back was 200 million, 400 million, something?
Yeah, it was a lot, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to recoup their loss.
Oh, is that why they're selling the PlayStation so expensive?
We got a first-time chat from JT Excelia said it's because of Concord failing.
Yeah.
Because we did think about that. They're going to try to find a way to recoup the loss on that when they tried to repurpose Concord for something else. So when last week we talked about they just gave up on it completely, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
They just could not come up with a way to use it to get something back on it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that because I want to say I had something in here. Yeah, it was Polygon's review of the PlayStation 5 Pro, and I'll get into that here a little bit and try and get you some highlights about the PlayStation 5 Pro that was released this week, I believe, November 7th. Anyway, coming up right now, we've got music from A Little to the Left. It is the expansion pack, Seeing Stars. It's the theme from that, which released, I think, back in June or July. So that's what we've got here. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. This is music from the game Once Human. Just called the login theme, so it's just where you log in, I guess, the music it plays. But there you go, Once Human. Music from that game. Welcome back to the show. I've got this PlayStation 5 Pro review opened up here. I have not looked at it, and I haven't watched Digital Foundry's review of it to kind of get anything. I'm interested in these things only because of curiosity, not because of interest in actually purchasing the console. I absolutely have no desire to buy that console, put money down on it, or anything like that. No desire. So, what do we have here? It says, if there's a bone to pick with this PS5, it is this. Many of its games ask players to decide between better graphics or faster gameplay. Gamers want both, but the PS5 can't do both. The PS5 Pro promises better frame rates and enhanced graphics in supported games, and it comes with the peace of mind that future games will continue to look and run great as the base PS5 slowly but surely ages out. As for how the PS5 Pro fares on launch day, it removes most, but not all, of the sting of having to choose between graphical modes. You want fidelity, you want performance. Well, now you can have your cake and eat it too with the PlayStation 5 Pro for only $700. You can do it that way. Thanks to the added power, there are a few glaring differences overall across the modes. However, some of its graphical improvements are easier to notice than others, and I'd argue that some just aren't noticeable at all if you sit more than a few feet away from your television. 50 strong on the games that are available to play on launch day that are enhanced for the PlayStation 5 Pro. And rest assured, I don't necessarily think that we are going to get games that are exclusive to the PS5 Pro. When the 4 Pro released, there was nothing that was, hey, you can only play it on the PS4 Pro. There were features that were only available to you because of the Pro, as there will be here. But there won't be a specific game that is only singularly available on the PS5 Pro. I say that now, knowing that anything could happen. And it, you know, you want to sell systems, you release a game that only plays on that system. Not a game that plays on any other system, even if it is in your own family of consoles, I would say. But let's see, going through some of this stuff. Best illustrates what the system's capable of is Alan Wake 2's new 30 frames per second quality mode, which offers some notable upgrades over the regular PS5's mode of the same name. Windows and shiny floor features realistic ray tracing, a lot of reflections. That's the big thing, one of the big takeaways. Reflections are amazing in the games when you're on the PlayStation 5 Pro. Looking through this. Launch day enhancements. As I expected, some of the fastest and prettiest PS5 games are now even more so on the Pro. Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2, Ratchet & Clank. They've been patched with two new visual options that deliver a high-resolution image, fast frame rates, realistic ray tracing on services all at once. So, yeah. What else? Sammy said for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I didn't try each of the 50 games that have gotten a patch, but what I did try delivered a mixed bag of improvements that I'm not sure I'd totally be happy with if I spent $700 on launch day. That said, there will be many games in 2025 that put the PS5 Pro's more powerful specs to the test. And as is usually the case with new console hardware, giving developers more time to play with it will lead to more impressive games. Of course, the upcoming game that matters most is Grand Theft Auto 6. You don't need to tell me that it is poised to be a monumental hit when it comes out in 2025, assuming that Rockstar Games takes full advantage of this console's bigger GPU and all the other bells and whistles with its next open-world game. GTA 6's launch could also be the PS5 Pro's big moment. The Pro has its work cut out for it in a more existential way, too. The PC now plays a large role in Sony's software strategy, selling its greatest hits to new players who may flat-out refuse to buy a console. On PC, people can play these games with newfound fidelity not possible on a PS5, and in the case of multiplayer games like Helldivers 2 on Steam, without Sony's PS Plus paid subscription plan as well. Given these perks, it's possible that some console players have been switching from PlayStation to PC. So in a way, the PS5 Pro is a stopgap console, costing $700 with power comparable to a PC that would cost hundreds more to purchase or build. As time goes on, how much better the PlayStation 5 Pro is compared to the base PS5 will eventually fade into the background. Instead, how the PS5 Pro stacks up to the always evolving state of PC graphics in 2025 and beyond will be a much more interesting and telling sign of whether it is worth your money. And by then, hopefully a price on that has come down. But when you're coming down off of $700, six is still a high wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just 100 knocked off. So, yeah, that's, oh, man. Actually, I don't know anybody who picked that up. I'm not saying that there aren't people who did, plenty that did, but I don't know of anybody who jumped in on that. So, what else we got? Just looking through some of the stuff here. We got a new CPU this week, right? Yeah, AMD. The Ryzen 7 9800X3D. They're still in the... What is it? The Zen 5 architecture, I believe, is what that is. I'm getting a little bit into the weeds on this one a little bit here, but... yeah, I'm really surprised they're still there with that. But it got released on the 7th as well. New CPU. $479. Yes, that is a lot for a CPU. But compared to the graphics... It's a bargain. Mm-hmm. Compared to the graphic the GPUs, man, that thing's a bargain. It's a good step up. It's something that I kind of kept my eye on because I just recently upgraded my CPU to a, I think it's a 5800X3D, a 758 Ryzen 7 5800X3D, I think is what I got. I'd have to go back and check. But I believe I picked that up. So, knowing that I can get a 9800 X3D and still put that in my machine without having to upgrade my motherboard is a really good, you know, that's a, if I'm riding this one till the wheels fall off, mm-hmm. that's probably my last stop mm-hmm. before we just go till it's dead.
Yeah.
Before I've got to upgrade my motherboard, my RAM, and everything else.
Yeah, one little switch for a significant upgrade, that's rare.
Yeah. Because your GPU can almost work with anything for the most part until they start doing something with that, but your GPU can work with almost anything. And I believe we're going to get some new GPUs, the 5090 series, I think, from NVIDIA do pretty soon. I'm not really following along with GPU stuff just because the prices have gotten so out of reach mm-hmm. that it's like I'm not even looking at your new stuff. I'm looking at stuff that's just one up from where I am to see if that's worth it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm good right now
because it's not that deep.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm right now. All right, I'm good right now, both in the processor and in the graphics aspect of it. So. And looking, yeah, we talked about backwards compatibility for the Switch, so that's good. I'm glad we got that, and we talked about it. What else did we have? Oh, yeah, Sega is delisting a ton of its classic games. I marked this mainly for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sega is set to delist a lot of its classic back catalog games from digital storefronts next month, including the Sega Genesis Classics Collection and several much-loved games from the Dreamcast era as well. The games will become unavailable for purchase just before midnight on December 6th. Sega Genesis Classics will be removed from sale on Steam and the Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch stores. A further 11 games will be delisted from the Xbox store. All Xbox 360 versions of classic titles, which are available to play via backwards compatibility. These include Crazy Taxi, Sega Bass Fishing, Shinobi, and Sonic Team Surreal Saturn-era platformer Nights into Dreams.
Mm.
Over 60 games will be delisted from Steam, where games from Sega's Classics range are unavailable to buy both individually and in the bundles that they sell as well. I'm not exactly sure why they're doing this. Sega pointed out that the catalog of classic Sega Genesis games included in a Nintendo Switch Online and Expansion Pack subscription will remain available to play. It also reassured users that the games they already own will remain in their libraries, and you can play them as well. They're just removing them from sale.
Mm-hmm.
They never gave a reason for the move or lay out any future plans as to why they're doing this. Mm. But... weren't they doing a didn't we get a teaser for like Crazy Taxi and Jet Set Radio Future and a bunch of other things as well?
Something like that, yeah.
I don't know how long ago. Yeah, oh, here.
It's a compilation of something they're going to put on something else.
Yeah, Sega is currently pursuing a revival of some of its classic properties with Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio, Shinobi, Golden Axe, and Streets of Rage games in development. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, and you're about to delist 60.
Oh, classics, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not something, yeah.
Don't see the relevance in that, yeah.
I don't. And I always get weird when they talk about delisting games, especially the classics. Now, I think I have most of these. I probably don't have all of them.
Genesis Collection I've got.
Yeah, I think I do too.
I've got that on disc.
I have it on Steam, I think. Well,
Knights of the Dreams I've still got on my Saturn.
Let me just put in air quotes. I have all of those games on my Steam Deck mm-hmm. by other means. But yeah. Yes, I have all of those games.
You have access to the games.
So I do. Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay.
Which makes the value of the Steam Deck shoot up even more.
So, isn't it? It's a game preservation console almost.
That's something else I should have mentioned with the digital aspect only. Hey, get your emulations ready.
Right, yeah.
There you go. Call it preserving history.
That's basically it. Now, yeah. I would love to preserve history in physical media, but even physical media wears down over time, even if you're not using it.
Yeah.
You know?
VHS tapes, DVD, yeah.
Even CDs.
CDs,
you know? So, yeah, it's... yeah. So.
Yeah, right there. If you want to preserve some video game history for an extended amount of time and get your collection up to snuff, a Steam Deck sounds pretty good right now.
It does, yeah. That is correct.
So, yeah, the only thing for delisting all the stuff, unless they're going to put it in a package that they can sell for themselves or some bundle later on or... long shot them getting back in the console market, which is doubtful, but still, that's one of the things I could see why you would delist these things, make them unavailable, so you can put them out there for yourself somewhere else. That's all I can think of.
That's my thinking too. It's like, especially that now, sometimes when a singular game gets delisted, you're thinking, well, they must be losing music rights or something's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you pull up and like, hey, we're taking 60 of our games off this market here, why?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long they've been there, but why now? What's the plan? What are you mm-hmm. doing? What is the... you got some deal coming up with somebody else? Or are you going to... I don't know.
Re-release of the Classics Collection as some other type of a bundle?
Well, see, I was trying to think in my head, like, what if they made a deal with Epic Games where they're only going to sell those on Epic? But then I thought, well, that doesn't... That may explain why they're removing them from Steam, but why would they be taking them off of Switch and the console stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly sure. And man, I really hate when they don't answer that question. Like, even if they gave a stupid answer of, well, it's our financial blah, blah, blah. Something really nerdy and dorky figures and stuff that doesn't...
Yeah, Bob in accountant thought it would be a
right.
good idea.
Something that doesn't translate to me. I would still accept something that I didn't understand other than a nothing, you know? I would accept an answer that is, even if it's just like, because we want to, or we're tired of paying the fees on these games being out here. The people who have them, and we're tired of paying the fees. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Give me that answer. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and argue with the answer, and I can critique that answer,
mm-hmm.
but giving me no answer at all is just like, well, what's the deal? Like, what's going on? You know? And usually, well, I don't know. Most of the time, it's licensing, but I don't see any licensing going on here for 60 titles.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why that is the case. Let's jump over to Warner Brothers. They admitted that their video game business is substantially underperforming its potential right now. They said it plans to double down on 4 key titles. 2024 has been a brutal year for Warner Brothers Games, with Rocksteady Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, failure, sparking a $200 million hit to the revenue, and then Multiversus flopped to the tune of $100 million.
Yeah.
So Warner Brothers games business is down $300 million so far in 2024, and it doesn't look like they have a game coming out anytime soon that's going to reverse that trend. So what's the plan? During a financial call, the CEO, David Zaslav, I feel like I invoke the devil when I say that name. And it's not because of his specific name. It's just of all the things that he has done under the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery. Mm-hmm. Dropping the Batwoman film, dropping the Looney Tunes film, or films that were complete. And they're like, passing on a bunch of other things. And I don't know, just going along with Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and not shifting that focus to something, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But still. Just
a series of bad decisions.
Seemingly to me, but yet he's still in control. It gets to me. He said that on the game side of things, the company plans to double down on just four titles and significantly reduce the number of video games it releases in the process. These games are Mortal Kombat, which I'm sure is a profit. You know, that makes them profit. So yep. NetherRealm is safe.
And NetherRealm Studios, yeah. Although a lot of people have, there's been a lot of talk about one. I think some folks didn't like the direction it was going for some reason, but it's nothing that can't be fixed in future iterations.
And you have that. So, yeah. That's how the fighting games sort of go. It's like, look, Mortal Kombat will be back, Street Fighter will be back, and we'll take the things that we learned from the last one, we'll improve upon them, and you'll find something else to complain about.
Yeah.
Hogwarts Legacy, so they're going to move forward with that. That was probably a given. Basically, it is their...
If it's profitable, focus on that.
Right, exactly. And so Harry Potter is profitable. Mortal Kombat, or I would say their fighting games in general, are profitable. Then it says Game of Thrones, which I don't know of any games of Game of Thrones, except for like the Telltale series and... maybe a phone game or something, but that's probably not Warner Brothers related. But what that tells me is they're just looking at their properties that they have in other aspects and saying, like, yeah, we're just going to focus on these properties because the four are Harry Potter, Mortal Kombat, Game of Thrones, and DC Comics. Although in the DC Comics realm of things, they say specifically or in particularly Batman.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because Arkham Shadows has apparently done really well in the VR space.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say very well, I'm not saying like it's selling very well, but it's reviewing quite well. Mm-hmm. It has become like, you know, if you're going to get a MetaQuest 3, you actually get that game when you buy it. And so people are having a good time with it. Seems to be very, very good.
Free game. Remember those days?
I know, man. And it's a pretty good free game. I was watching a review of it, and it's considerable in length. For a VR game. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, that's a long 9 hours, I think, for playing through.
For a VR game. Because VR games infamously known for, like, you're going to have to take breaks.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they tell you to take breaks while you're playing. I mean, you know, I guess you could play through it for 9 hours. But yeah, for VR, you know, take breaks. But it's total, like, a 9-hour title. It's pretty good. But yeah, that seems to be. We're through some of the worst, and it hasn't been pretty on the gaming business. But we have four games that are really powerful and have a real constituency that love them, and we're going to focus on those four primarily. We're going to go away from trying to launch 10, 12, 15, 20 different games. I think we have a real chance now with focus to have the gaming business be steadier. We have four strong and profitable game franchises with loyal global fans, Hogwarts Legacy, Mortal Kombat, Game of Thrones, and DC, in particular Batman. We're focusing our development efforts on those core franchises with proven studios to improve our success ratio. The obvious highlight there, the article states, is Batman. Suicide Squad, the failure was in part due to it not being yet another single-player Batman Arkham game, which developer Rocksteady is best known for. Warner Brothers Games just released a VR-exclusive Batman Arkham game, and it's doing pretty well. Could Rocksteady now be set to return to Batman after Suicide Squad's struggles? We'll see. NetherRealm's Mortal Kombat 1 released in September last year, and fans are wondering what it's up to next. In September, NetherRealm development chief Ed Boon confirmed the studio had decided on its next game 3 years ago, but insisted it was still fully committed to supporting Mortal Kombat 1 for a long time to come. Most of the studio's work, Most fans of the studio's work expect it to release a third game in its DC fighting game franchise, Injustice. Although neither NetherRealm nor Warner Brothers has yet to confirm that. It's probably that. Hmm. Probably an Injustice 3. Right? Are they at 3?
Yeah.
No, they're still on 2.
Right, I know. In other words, yeah, we
so
would get the third.
Coming out will be the 3, yeah.
Yeah, so. All right, we got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap these things up. We have music here. Again, I'm going back to June or July, and I think this is July. So, look, I'm biased when I'm looking for music, and if a game gets a remaster or a remake, and I've used music for it before, it gives me a reason to use it again. Also, I don't need that. I can pick whatever I want. And so I did. This is music from the Riven remake. Mm-hmm. This is called Blue Cave. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. You've got music here from Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree. This is the Twin Moon Knight, which I guess is a boss battle.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
I initially thought this was Bloodborne, because it did have that gothic Victorian type theme in there, so yeah.
Right, that's what I was like, hey man, you're close, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you haven't picked up Erdtree yet.
Haven't picked up yet. Been playing other things here and there, but I need to pick that up. But I was trying to finish off something with the original game with my other characters.
Yeah.
So that's probably what it was.
You probably by the time you get around to
by
it,
by the time I get around to it,
pretty good deal.
Black Friday, man.
Black Friday
might,
coming up, man.
Yeah, might.
Because when did that release? Well, the Erdtree released back in June or July, I think, when it came out.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Anyway, I will get it eventually.
I know you
that,
will. Yeah.
That and Lies of P.
Yeah.
Which I haven't picked up yet. But I haven't picked up, but that demo hooked me in. It showed me something really really nice. And I wanted to get into that as well.
What else do we have? Nintendo is absolutely suing the PAL World developer over the Pokeballs. Mm. The Pokemon Company and Nintendo are suing PAL World developer Pocket Pair for 10 million yen. That's only about $65,000. Also, late payment damages, according to a statement released by Pocket Pair on Friday. The lawsuit targets three patents that cover gameplay where players ride Pokemon and throw Pokeballs. I don't really do the Pokemon thing, so I'm just reading this from an article. Please don't mistake me reading an article to translate into me knowing what I'm talking about. The Pokemon Company and Nintendo formally filed a suit against Pocket Pair last September. At the time, the press release from the two companies said they were seeking an injunction and compensation on the grounds that PAL World infringes multiple patent rights. Turns out that's three. According to this new update from Pocket Pair, the Pokemon co-owners claim PAL World infringes on three patents held by the Pokemon Company and Nintendo, and that the two companies are seeking an injunction against the game and compensation for a portion of the damages incurred between the date of registration of the patents and the date of filing the lawsuit. So, yeah. Let's see. Pal World came out earlier this year. It became an instant hit, selling over 12 million copies on Steam and garnering more than 7 million players on Xbox. However, people online criticized the game for appearing to copyright creatures and concepts from Pokemon and claimed the developer stole designs from the Pokemon franchise to create certain PAL creatures. PocketPair says what happens next will continue to assert our position in this case through future legal proceedings, but it is being done. We knew it was happening, but now we know more about, like, here it is. We knew it was over Pokeballs, or at least we figured that's what it would be, and that turns out to be the actual case, along with two other things that they feel infringe upon their copyright. I mean, it's Nintendo. You know how big they are on holding their copyright.
Yeah,
you know, you so much as fart a Nintendo theme on YouTube, you will be flagged.
Yep.
They do not like their stuff out there. Oh, by the way,
especially when you perform it better than they do.
Yeah, right. The Nintendo Music app was released. I have not signed into it or anything like that, but yeah.
Okay.
If you have a subscription to Nintendo Online through the Switch and everything, you can download that app. You can still download it now. But if you have a subscription, log in with your Nintendo account, and you will have access to soundtracks from a ton of different games. And you can make playlists from all the different games. You can make your own playlist. You can. There's a ton of things you can do for the Nintendo Music app. I have not gone in to do anything with it. I'm just regurgitating what the trailer told me.
Or if you download it off of YouTube.
If it's still there on YouTube.
Yeah, so.
Well, it is on Nintendo's channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yes, there are other ways to get the music.
I look at that app and I'm thinking of all the alternative ways you can pick up Nintendo's music off the
But it's a lot like a lot like the fact that if you are already a Nintendo person and you've got a subscription to Nintendo Online, I do.
Okay.
Which is like $8 every 3 months. Not a bad deal to have their online stuff. Then, you know, sure, download the app and then you can have the music on your phone if you want to. You know, I mean, I know you can do it in other ways, but
plenty of other ways.
Here's a way where it is already done for you in a sense that you just go into the app and it's, you know, one touch, you're done type of thing, rather than going through the process of loading it onto your phone, doing all the other stuff that you have to do to get it on there, creating your playlists. I don't know. It's not the greatest thing in the world. I just thought it was kind of a neat thing that they did.
I get it.
Just something I'd forgotten that they had done, and it's like, oh yeah, there's this now. So, oh man, what do we have? What else do we have here as we're going through this? You know, speaking of Pokemon, there was a game released called Pokemon TCG Pocket, Pokemon the Card Game Pocket. It is apparently off to a flying start. As one report says, the mobile trading card game is making three times as much as old Pokemon Go. And we know how successful that was.
Yeah.
If you are even remotely aware of the real-life Pokemon trading card game, you'll know that it is incredibly popular, not even really because of the competitive side, but just to collect the things. Collecting them has become so popular that certain cards skyrocketed in price because of their rarity. With grifters coming in to run things for everybody else and the pandemic also boosting hobbies like card collecting, it felt like a game like Pokemon TCG Pocket, which is entirely designed around collecting, was always destined to do well. And as it turns out, it has done ridiculously well in its opening days. It's been reported that the mobile app tracker App Magic estimates that Pokemon TCG Pocket, I'm just going to call it Pokemon Mobile. I'm tired of saying that. Has brought in 3 million per day over the weekend, making a grand total of 12 million in just 4 days. Those are wild numbers, and right now that puts it at triple the amount Pokemon Go generally makes per day, which is around just 1 million. Obviously, the difference is Pokemon Go is a good few years old now, and the launch period will always have people spending the most, but it's still a very, very strong start for the digital trading card game. Apparently, a huge majority of that is coming from Japanese players who apparently make up 45% of the game's earnings so far, with the U.S. coming in second, bringing in 25% of the revenue. Interestingly, though, of the 7.5 million downloads, 29% of those are from the U.S., with Japan only making up 4%. So Japanese players are clearly quite the big spenders. Shortly after the game launched, players quickly convinced themselves that there are special methods you can use to guarantee hits. But like with every other Pokemon rumor, there's not much truth to be found there. Yeah, I remember seeing something, you know, scrolling through Reddit. Reddit, I don't know about other people, but like my main page on Reddit has more suggested subreddits than the actual Reddit subreddits that I follow.
Right.
Just like, hey, because you're interested in this other subreddit, we thought we would show you this. And it started pulling up these Pokemon Go TCG things. Mm-hmm. Or not the whatever it is. But apparently, and see, I didn't know that it was just buying packs and opening them. I thought it was like, okay, it's a digital version of Pokemon, the card game. Mm-hmm. It's not. You're just collecting cards.
Yeah.
You don't use them to battle with or anything like that. You just collect them.
Yeah. You're looking for the rare ones.
To do what with? Just to own them?
Yeah. Or.
Can you sell them?
I guess. I don't know.
I say, I don't know. I don't know if you can sell them in the app. I mean, if you can sell them in the app, then great. But what do you do with them if you're not playing them?
You're collecting. Baseball cards. What do you do with baseball cards? Store them and hold them for until the value goes up.
But these are digital cards.
Store them and hold them until the value goes up, I guess, in the game or whatever.
I mean,
think about it. It's a collectible item that you store, and what else are you going to do
with
it?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess I'm having trouble bridging that gap, but you're exactly right when you talk about baseball cards. Because you would just collect the baseball cards and like hope that goes up in value, and then you would sell it. But then I was thinking, can you sell them in here? I don't know. I'm not sure if I don't. I mean, maybe you can. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because if all
I
you
think
can
they
do
have
is,
to because
then what's the point, right?
What's the point? Just collecting for collector's sake.
But what if it is just collecting for collector's sake? 12 million in a weekend.
That'd be something to it.
You found the elusive money printer.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll have to look into that. It's very likely that you can, and there's probably people who are listening right now who know way more about Pokemon than I do,
yeah,
who are just screaming at me, like, yes, of course you trade them, you idiot. Because it makes no sense otherwise. But look, I've been around long enough to see some really stupid ideas make a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
And if there's no trading involved...
Still to this day.
There's
still some ideas that do that.
If there's absolutely no trading involved in this and all it is that, then number one, it's not going to surprise me.
No, it's not.
And number two, it's like, wow, okay, that's fine. You guys, you battle. You collect and trading comes later. This is Super Game Sniper telling me about this in the thing. He says, no, you battle. You collect and trading comes later. But if you play with them, they are no longer mint, says Bama Bryant. Pokemon Pocket TCG is like a gacha. It's not like the traditional TCG because you have a smaller bench of 3 versus standard 5. Okay. So you do actually play the game.
Yeah,
okay.
there is some activity involved with collecting the cards. Okay, yeah.
Sounds like what he's saying. So a smaller bench of 3 versus the standard 5. I'm curious as to what that... I don't know. I don't know. Exactly what that necessary. I didn't play Pokemon Super Game Sniper 9. I never played it when it was original. I've never played Pokemon. I played Pokemon Go for a bit when it was, you know, the hot thing at the time, but it never really held on to me like it did for a lot of people.
I wonder if it's similar to Snap.
That's what I was curious about.
In some kind of way. Yeah.
That's what I was curious about. Except in Snap, I can't trade cards.
Right.
In Snap, cards aren't necessarily of any value with the exception of the variants. But the variants are just cosmetic. They don't change the ability of the card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the card doesn't get
stronger,
more awesome or stronger or more powerful because it's got a, you know, a specific artist who has done the variant art on the card.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the part where I'm like,
so, So TCG Pockets, card game with different, just a different aspect. So yeah, okay.
Let's see. I'm getting schooled in Pokemon through the chat right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he says one active Pokemon. It means you have less Pokemon in reserve, and the matches go a lot faster. Normally, you have to knock out 6 Pokemon in the traditional game, and this one, it's best of 3. Oh, okay. He says he's got about 200 in-game cards thus far. You know, it makes me curious. There was a game on Steam that I'm still interested in, and it was, what was it, like TCG Store Simulator? Which I had interest in, and then I started seeing Pokemon TCG, and I'm going, what? I don't know. I don't know that I want to get into that.
TCG Card Shop Simulator?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Came out September of 2024. Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
With, over 21 plus thousand reviews.
It's got, yeah. It's
a card shop simulator, yeah.
Exactly.
Simulation, management, economy, collection. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's see. TCG Card Shop Simulator is a trading card shop simulation where you sell card booster packs to earn money and build your card shop business.
Is the...
Let's see. Manage your shop and all types of things. I guess you host card tournaments and things of that nature. Yeah, so...
You can do that. You know. I've added it to my wish list. I'm very interested.
Early access right now.
Super Game Sniper 9 says, that's a fun game too, the TCG Shop Simulator. They have a mod to make the cards from Terramon to Pokemon, and that'll probably get a lawsuit. So I guess their game is Terramon instead of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that looks like a fun little simulator thing. Is and I'll just throw that out there to Super Game Sniper since he's answering these questions, and I'll ask it, I'll move on, but you'll answer it in the chat and I'll come back to it because of the delay. Is the Pokemon TCG Pocket thing, whatever it is that we were talking about, is that a mobile game, or is it on Steam, or is it both, or is it just on your phone? And I will let you answer that whenever you get around to hearing that question. In the meantime, I'm going to move on with, I don't know, what else do we have? The E3 demo for Halo 2 is actually playable now 20 years later. And a lot of people are talking about how fun that is because we got to watch that level play, but it never ended up in the game proper. And so they have now released that demo level for people to play. Amazon is working on a Mass Effect TV show. That was some of the news we got for N7 Day, which is every November 7th. We talk about Mass Effect. And the only thing we really got out of that was the fact that Amazon is working on a Mass Effect TV show. And if they can do with that like they did with Fallout, I have pretty good hope. I mean, Mass Effect, I think, could translate into a very good television show. I absolutely think it could. I also saw where they put the Normandy in No Man's Sky, and I absolutely, oh man, the desire to install that massive No Man's Sky game again just to fly the Normandy was quite overwhelming. That is a ship that I wish they put in more games. It's one of those things where I wish you could have it in games like No Man's Sky, or in, I bet somebody's modded it to put it in Starfield.
Mm-hmm. One of them iconic vehicles.
Oh, man. It's a great... it's a great ship. It's a great ship. It's a really pretty ship. I like it. I like models of it, although there's not that many, but not that many that are on the cheap.
Is there a Lego?
A Lego of it, although I'm sure somebody out there has made one, mm-hmm. just, you know, Frankensteining parts together to make that ship. Because there are a lot of people who do that.
Mm-hmm.
In the Lego community, there's a lot of people who just... They buy sets to get the pieces, not to build.
Yeah.
They buy it to get those specific pieces so they can build their own stuff.
Yeah. So this set plus this set plus this set equals
that. Yeah. Yeah, I am not that creative to do that, but there are people who do that. You can find plenty of YouTube videos of people who have drawers and drawers and drawers of Lego pieces.
I'm sorry, I just put Normandy Lego in the search, and I got a Reddit thing and said, I built this Normandy SR2 with over 3,900 Lego bricks. There we go. Already, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, love it. And I'm glad they put it in games like that. So,
yeah, okay.
That's what I hope for. I don't know. Anything else? There's not much else. Borderlands Movie Studio says nearly everything that could go wrong did go wrong for the movie, and I still haven't watched it. GeForce Now is introducing a 100 hours a month playtime limit. But if you're a subscriber, which means you're already paying, you can pay extra to get more. What? Why?
The fact that you put a 100-hour limit on a thing, that just, the first thing I thought was, okay, the games that I've played, the type of games I play, you know how long it takes to get to 100 hours?
I know.
In there, like a Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. Or Elden Ring, or a Dark Souls.
You're hitting
like
100 hours.
It
yeah, yeah.
Gets to 100 hours. Something along those lines.
NVIDIA has announced that its GeForce Now cloud gaming service will soon introduce a playtime cap of 100 hours a month for paying performance and ultimate subscribers as well, although additional hours can be purchased for a fee. Paying subscribers wanting to use GeForce Now for more than the allotted 100 hours a month, equating to approximately 3 hours per day, will now need to pay extra, with 15 additional hours costing $3. You want 15 more hours, you pay $3. That's for the performance members. Anybody else, it's $6 for 15 additional hours. Up to 15 unused hours will automatically roll over into the next month, by the way.
Why am I thinking of Nintendo's PlayChoice 10?
I don't
in the arcades. You remember that, don't you?
I do remember it, but yeah. I don't remember what was the caveat on that. It was timed
1/4, 300 300 seconds, I think, 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it was like another token to keep going.
I remember seeing the PlayChoice 10s, but I didn't know they were timed, or at least I don't remember being timed.
Arcade, yeah.
I also don't remember playing them very much.
Yeah, arcade, yeah.
And like, maybe that was the reason why.
Yeah, 1 credit, 300 seconds, or whatever the arcade operator put it to. And if you wanted to keep continuing, you know, put another token in.
Man. Let's see. Super Game Sniper 9 said that the Pokemon TCG thing is mobile. However, the traditional TCG is still out there for PC. Okay. Interesting. Let's see. I think that's gonna wrap everything up here. I think we're gonna call it a night because we got about 2 minutes left in the show.
Maybe they introduced a 100-hour limit to not just flat out say we want to increase the price.
It's 100 per month, so if you don't hit the 100, then the next month you're okay. You can keep playing. But, like, if this is your main source how you play games, because they showed a screen of, like, Baldur's Gate 3 is in there. That's a 100-hour game
that's
easy.
100 plus, yeah.
You know?
Who's not going to hit 100?
If that is your sole source of gaming, then, yeah, you're going to be hitting 100.
Yeah.
And you're likely probably going to pay for the whatever you're paying to get the extra 15 hours, I would imagine, if that is your sole source. And if it's not, then maybe kind of look at what you're paying and then think, I'll build a PC. Yeah. Let's see. This amount of gaming over this amount of time is going to do this. I don't know. In some cases, I see where this is beneficial. Mm-hmm. You get the performance without all the hassle. It's all streamed. Hopefully, your internet is good. But streaming games have come a long way since they were first introduced. And speaking of first introduced, we have to say goodbye. I don't know why that was a relatable thing.
Good segue.
We came in, and now we're going out. Thank you so much for watching, everybody, and for tuning in and listening. We do appreciate it. Join us online through our Steam groups that we got, our Discord. We wait for you there to show up if you want to come by, say hello, Twitch, and everything else. We're going to post this on YouTube tomorrow. It'll also be on our iTunes account as well, so you can download and listen to the show again if you'd like to. That's going to wrap it up for us. I'm leaving you with music here from a game called Aska, A-S-K-A. It is the opening theme of the game. We will be back next Saturday for another episode. Thank you again, RJ.
You're welcome.
We will see you next week. Good night.